Paul instructed Timothy as a pastor. His letters speak of the calling and duties of pastors. Pastor, we remind you of your duty now. We charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season to speak his word, point out errors, warn people, and encourage us with complete patience and teaching. Amen.
Amen. We are his witnesses. Those last words of every stanza of that hymn, we are his witnesses, meant to go forth and tell about the gospel. But it's interesting to see this reading from 1 John today and to see that idea of being a witness in a different light. Look at the first verses of 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 and 10 there. If we receive the testimony of men, in other words, if we believe when other people tell us things and humans tell us what has happened, if we believe them, well, the testimony of God is even greater. For this is the testimony that God has told us about his Son. God has told us something greater, and God is divine. His testimony is greater. And then it says, whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Has the testimony in himself. God's testimony in you. Through faith in his Son, God's testimony is in you. We sang, we are witnesses, which sounds very active, like I need to go and tell things, and I got to figure out how to tell those things. But these verses begin someplace else. They say, through faith in Christ, God's testimony is in you. Keep that in mind. So the ascension, I don't know what it would have been like. You're standing there, the disciples, Jesus is teaching, and then he says, you know, let me pray for you, let me bless you, and you bow your heads. And then, I don't know, do you think they heard something? Something a little strange, like maybe he was blessing them and then his voice started getting further away. Because it says he lifted up their hands and blessed them. And as he was blessing them, he was lifted up into the clouds. So, you know, you're bowing your head in prayer and you're, you know, yep, Jesus is going to bless us. This is wonderful. Why does Jesus sound like he's getting further away? And then you open your eyes, even though you know that your mom taught you, fold your hands, close your eyes, keep them closed during prayer, right? But his voice is getting farther away, so you open your eyes and you see him ascending. And in Acts, Luke says that they just stood there looking into the sky until, as one of our kids remembered, the angel comes and says, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, he will come just as you have seen him go. Go into Jerusalem, just like he said, and wait for the Holy Spirit. So I imagine I would definitely be one, you know, with like mouth open, and it would have taken the angel to get me to do anything else except for stand there and think, what now? But then I also think, okay, so they go back into the city, they go back into that room that they keep seeming to use. Some people speculate that where the disciples were hiding, kind of locked up for fear of the Jews, that where they were locked up might have been that same upper room where they shared the Last Supper. That's just speculation, but that's kind of an interesting idea. So you go back to this room, what would you have done during those 10 days? Ascension is 40 days after Easter. Pentecost is 50 days. Of course, you don't know yet that the Holy Spirit's going to show up in 10 days. You just know Jesus said, in a little while. What would you have done during those 10 days? How would you have handled that? Jesus said, go be my witnesses, but wait for the Holy Spirit, but then you're going to go out and you're going to be my witnesses. What would you have done during those 10 days? Would you have, I don't know, patiently waited? Been very patient, maybe sent a card home. Hey, mom, dad, you know, having a great time in Jerusalem. just waiting for the fireworks to start, you know? Or what would you have written to them? Or would you have been anxious during those 10 days and fretting and pacing, you know? Or again, would you have been sort of just chill, right? Relaxing about it, maybe seeing if some people wanted to play cards. Anybody want to play Go Fish? Get it, the disciples, the fishermen. Never mind. Would you have kept yourself busy? Is that how you handled just kind of waiting around? Would you have kept yourself busy, you know, cooking, sneaking out to the market, trying to keep busy, cleaning up the upper room again? Or would you have said, you know what? This is not what I signed up for. I did not sign up to sit around and just wait. Or finally, maybe you'd be like me. And you'd say, guys, Jesus said that soon, we don't know when, soon we're going to go out and be witnesses. We're going to have to go and tell other people about Jesus. I think, guys, really, we need to sit down and work on our presentation. All right, so who brought their laptop? We're going to have to work out our PowerPoint presentation when we go out to be witnesses. So we really got to work out our script. All right, so Peter, James, and John, I assume you're going to take the lead, and then we'll be over here. We're kind of the chorus. We'll sing a song once in a while, and then you'll... Would you be like that? Like, we got to get a presentation. What am I ever going to say? That's definitely me. Well, think of those 10 days, the disciples knowing that Jesus has said, you're going to be my witnesses, and they're waiting around wondering what that's going to be like. And then take that together with what John later writes in the first letter. God's testimony is in you. It sounds like the disciples and us, that we're set to go. John doesn't write that you have believed in Jesus, you've heard and believed God's testimony about Jesus, therefore go and create a wonderful presentation and skit and PowerPoint, right? John says, you have believed in the Son, his testimony is in you. That's powerful. It sounds like we're ready, that his testimony is you and what he's doing in you. He's saying it's not so much about all the different words you might say. I am sending you. I'm not sending out a fancy presentation. I am sending you to be my witnesses. So what's that look like? What's it look like to have God's testimony in you? Well, John has been showing us that in this first letter that we've taken some passages from in the last few weeks. He's shown us what that testimony looks like. It looks like having love for one another and love for others. It looks like laying down your life for one another. Now, Jesus says, I have laid down my life for you. You also ought to lay your life down for one another. And maybe you're thinking, I haven't had to, you know, almost die on behalf of someone. But just think about all the different ways that you're called on to lay down your life, to put aside all of your, you know, needs and wants and priorities, to set those aside in order to serve and love one another. John says that the testimony in you is sharing what you have with those in need. And the testimony is to believe in Jesus and teach others the faith also. Those are all the fruit that we've been talking about ever since we talked about the vine and the branches a few weeks ago. The fruit that we bear through Jesus being the vine, we are the branches, and him fueling and feeding us, the fruit that we bear is this love for one another, sharing with others, believing in him and teaching others. And this life as disciples, this daily living, that's God's testimony in you. It's God's testimony about his Son And you who believe, you have this testimony in you. Doesn't sound like John is describing any kind of slick presentation. It sounds like what John is saying is that God will do his testimony, will give witness, will call others to know about his Son through you, through your daily lives. So I want you to say it this out loud, because it's powerful to realize this, but it's a little difficult to keep believing it. But here's what I want you to say: God's testimony is in me. Ready? God's testimony is in me. Or maybe we should have used this easier one. Yeah, you know what? We're going to use this easier one. This one's easier. I am God's testimony. I am God's testimony. And, you know, you got to think about it. At least in the times when my life displays his testimony, his word, his Son, there are lots of times when I get in the way of God's testimony. But the word says, you are God's testimony. You are his witnesses by who you are. You are the, you know, you are the branches on the vine, and you are his story displayed to the world. Which means that the ascension, it did not mean that the disciples needed the PowerPoint. It means that God's testimony will be displayed in your life and your life each day. And I do see this in you. Say it again. I am God's testimony. I am God's testimony. How many of you are a little uncertain about that? But I see it in you, even if you don't see it in yourselves. I see it in our congregations of focus, in our mission. I hear it in the stories of the impact that we're able to have together in the community, and the stories of the impact that you have in the community as individuals. I hear it, I see that you are God's testimony, because I hear less talk about just weather in sports, although there's always weather to talk about and sports to talk about, but I also hear you talking about the difficult things in life and where is God in these things. I hear you sharing those things with one another and recognizing it in one another. I hear you repeating themes that we keep talking about and recognizing those themes in each other's stories. Somebody tells a story and you say, oh, that's just like what we were talking about from the Gospel of John. I see that you are building relationships with those we serve. We're not interested in just, you know, sending money different places. We have a desire to build relationships with those in need. And we bring, and I see it in how you bring others and their need to the congregation. That you don't think of it as like we're here to support one another but no one else. When you hear about someone else in need of prayer or in need of assistance, you bring that to the congregation and say, how do we support this person that I know? These are all the ways that you are God's testimony. I see it as you consider, what does it mean to live out God's mercy and justice and compassion? Say it again, I am God's testimony. I am God's testimony. But maybe that's still kind of surprising to you. And it doesn't really feel correct. Here's how I want you to think about it. If it doesn't really feel correct, like you're not fully ready to be God's testimony, I want you to think of it as like a superhero first discovering their superpowers. I don't know, like Spider-Man or something, right? And when they first discover their superpowers, they're trying to figure it all out, right? And then, you know, there's always that scene where they're out and they see somebody in trouble and suddenly, you know, they throw the bad guy, you know, three rooms down the house, right? And everybody turns and says, how did you just do that? And then the superhero, right, inevitably says, I don't know. And then they run away and then they sew a costume and then it keeps going. I want you to realize, in realizing that you are God's testimony, you're in that moment of saying, I don't know. I don't know how I did that. I don't know how I showed Jesus in that moment. It's you listen to God's word. His word is taking root in your life. It moves to shape and transform the other parts of your life. And then suddenly you find that you're standing around with some friends. And everyone's complaining about, I don't know, take your pick. They're complaining about the kid's school or the boss or another friend who's not there. Everybody's just kind of complaining. It's kind of the normal thing that your group of friends is doing. And normally you'd be right in the conversation, complaining and blaming and gossiping. But this day, you don't. And your friends say, what's going on with you? Kind of quiet today. And now it depends on your friends, on what you say in that moment. You say something like, well, I guess, I don't know, life's too short to be negative. Or maybe you say, you know, God's been getting me thinking about making changes. I don't know. You don't need to say, I'm growing more as a disciple and I see that I am God's testimony. You don't need to say that. But it's that moment when you stand back and you realize, I'm doing something different here. And it's because God is at work in me. It is a fruit of God at work in me. And in that moment, whatever it is, you're just not complaining like everybody else. You're not joining in the gossip or whatever. In that moment, you are God's testimony. And this is where you get surprised. God's doing something different in you. And you say, I don't know, I guess I'm changing. But it is those moments when I want you to think about those moments this week, to recognize those moments this week, because I want you to realize you are different. That God keeps changing things in you. He is transforming you. There is something different in you because of the power of God's gospel at work in you, feeding you, fueling you. I want you to see, do you realize that God is using you? Tomorrow, the Write Your Story, those are due tomorrow, because I want to print some of your stories in the booklet. And you've probably seen me repeating over and over again that I want you to tell stories. There's more instructions on the hub, on the rolling cart back there to take today and turn it in by tomorrow. Just a short story where you see God having an impact in your life. And maybe you've been hearing that and you've thought, well, that's not me. God, you know, I don't have a story to tell. Well, then I want you to go back to today's reading where John says, whoever believes in the Son of God has God's testimony in them. Say it, I am God's testimony. I am God's testimony. And that story might be as simple as all of my friends were complaining about something and I thought they were getting kind of mean and so I just got quiet and I just didn't join in. That could be a way of saying God is doing something in your life. You are God's testimony. I want you to rejoice that through faith in Him, God says, you are His testimony. And He is going to display His gospel, His love, His peace through you. Praise God for that. Praise God that we don't need PowerPoints in order to go do that. Praise God that you can just be out there and see that, I don't even know where that came from. Oh, wait, I do know where that came from. It's God at work in me, and it's His gift to us. Amen.